Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This week on Pub Girls,
we talk Real Housewives of Salt Lake City,
the Stanley Cup craze, and leg extension surgery.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pub Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
Oh my god, I saw an episode of Grey's Anatomy where this guy mutilated his legs trying to get them extended.
Grey's Anatomy is a documentary.
I thought so.
But no, I saw this meme account, because you know how meme accounts have like turned into just sharing sensationalist news now?
Yes.
And like 100%. Crypto bro, like multi-level marketing schemes.
Yes.
Anyway,
I know it's like all like in there now, but one of the posts was about this guy who got leg lengthening surgery to be taller because apparently that's what the girls like. And the photo of him, he had like a nice face and everything. I don't think he would have struggled to attract people, but his legs and torso were just so out of tune.
He just had like a really long torso.
No, like short torso.
Oh, yes.
Long legs, like stretched out like chewing gum.
Yeah, it's giving Gumby.
Yeah.
I think I either saw this man or a similar man that had this, and it was
a
like
similar man.
Yeah.
Name of my tell-all.
Some other like very like plagued by their shortness man, and he went to Russia, or it was somewhere overseas.
Yes, it was in Russia
or Turkey or something like that, to get this surgery, and spent like, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on this thing. But like, he couldn't walk properly, like, because you have like 6 months minimum, I think, of recovery, because you can't actually, your body's not used to standing on those extended.
Oh, well, my yeah. God, two things. We need heels for men.
Embrace the heel.
Get on like, that Tom Cruise.
Yeah, what a, like the heel lifter things.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if he has money to take 6 months off work and get his legs lengthened in Russia, he's rich. Why is he struggling to get a girl?
True.
It doesn't so true. Add up. Like, I wouldn't care whether my partner was short or tall, as long as they're like, take me on dates, thoughtful, yes, good kisser.
Yeah.
If you just use that money to learn an instrument, immediate pussy.
Yeah. Get in a band.
100%.
Join a band.
You do have to wonder, like, because I know plenty of short kings that have got beautiful tall girlfriends.
Absolutely.
And it's like, I think there was something else awry.
Yeah.
And now he'll be like, oh no, it's because I'm too tall, or like, because I fucked my legs.
Or it's like, well, maybe you are insecure about being women who are taller than you with.
Mm. Yeah. That's it. I reckon.
Yeah, it's insecurity.
So I feel like a lot of straight cis men are so insecure about what people think about their partners, more so than what they're actually attracted to.
Yes.
Mm. Like, you can see it all the time.
Yeah. I saw on Twitter someone posting this video of this woman who filmed her husband dancing at a wedding. And it was like him like very endearingly dancing along to like one of those like salsa or something like that. And he's like fucking it up, but he's having a ball. And people are like, this is the kind of man that like women want. You know,
yeah.
Just someone who's like loving life and
laugh at themselves.
Positive masculinity.
Yeah, 100%.
We're telling this to our listeners who are all like gay.
All gay.
We're like, this is how you get the girls, by the way. But I think it goes for both.
Yes. We've become one of those like podcasts that's about male confidence.
Yeah.
Do you feel like height is a big thing in the like lesbian dating world? Because it definitely, like, it is a thing in the gay male world, but like, there's someone for everyone, you know, like, short guys are like lusted after, tall guys are lusted after, everyone's kind of winning.
I guess because you're a bit more free from the confinements of gender, that it doesn't matter who's tall or short. It's so funny because I feel like I've got a really small partner and you got a really tall partner.
Because I'm 5'7 and she's 5'11.
Wow.
And I think
that's a freak.
I know, she's so tall.
Amazon.
So like, what's the difference between, like, that's 4 inches difference. I think 4 inches up or down is fine.
Yeah. That's
it's
true.
It's like the 7 or plus. What is it? Like dating. It's like the age rule. It's like your age halved plus or minus 7, I think.
What is this?
I heard of this. There's a formula to finding a partner within your age range.
I'm going
to
look it up.
But I will just say, for me, it's just if somebody has their age in their Instagram bio, they're too young for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, that's just embarrassing. I couldn't put my age in my Instagram bio.
So it's half your age plus 7 rule. According to this rule, a 28-year-old would be able to date no younger than 21, and a 50-year-old would date no one younger than 32.
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
Literally. I would also say the gap between 21 and 28 is huge.
Oh, enormous.
I remember when I was 21, I was dating like barely. I went on a couple of dates with a 28-year-old guy, and the way that I was behaving was not, I wasn't proud of myself.
No.
I was like, I just thought he was so mature, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
That's a common trick, because why was I like 19 going on dates with 30-year-old men who were just like, I just discovered myself in Europe drinking wine.
Oh, blah, my blah, God.
And I'm like, what do you mean?
It's that Demi Lovato song where she's like looking back at finally 29.
29. Finally, where good you were at the time. Yeah. It's a classic, like, Demi, no, beautiful song. Wait, 17, 29.
And about the guy that played Fez in That 70s Show.
Yeah. Hey, that whole cast is effed up.
Yes.
We didn't talk about it was a few months ago, was when we were on our little hiatus, but Miller. Miller Kunis and Ashton Kutcher.
What did they apologize for again?
They stood by that guy that was like a sex offender.
Yeah, they wrote a letter of recommendation for him, like, to the judge, to be like, we think that he's an upstanding person in society. And this, like, a lot of listeners will know this as well, and we all know how hard it is for a sexual assault and a rape case to even make it to the courts.
Yeah.
And he's, like, already been charged with sexual assault before that, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, just in case. But it was another court case. He was already a bad guy, and it turns out that Mila and Ashton wrote him a letter of recommendation. And, like, Mila was 14 on that show as well.
Yeah,
a lot of things on that show weren't quite right, were they?
And the producers, whatever, they 100% knew, because it was just like, just do any kind of vetting of your cast, you know? Like,
yeah, it wasn't the actual 70s.
Yeah.
Wild stuff. I'm excited that men have a surgery that fucks them up now, though, because the amount of, like, Brazilian butt lift surgeries that have horror stories as well.
I know, yes. Right? I feel like now it's all about the hair transplant.
Yes.
Would you do it? Would you get a hair transplant, either of you? I mean, we sit here, dear listeners, all have full heads of hair.
Yes.
Even me.
Your hair looks great, by the way.
Yeah, I shaved it myself.
It's really perfect. Nice. Yeah, you got a nice full head of hair, Charlie.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. Both sides. I think it's passed down, like, by the women in the family. I don't know, but whatever.
Oh, it's always blame the women.
Yeah. What do you mean, your mum's bald?
Or the hirsute people in my family. No, I'm blessed. On both sides with a lot of hair. But Josh's family is not quite so blessed. Mm. So they're all having to have those discussions.
Embrace it. Although I always say embrace it, shave 100%. It off. But then my dad did that. He's been boarding for like my entire life. And he used to have a full head of curly hair, like full surfer vibes. And then it all just left when he had kids. So added to the list of reasons why not to.
Also, bald guys are hot. Like, I fucking love it.
No, but not every bald guy.
Not your dad,
Jordan. Looks like Jason Statham. Actually, like, this is a really confronting thing when you shave your head and you're like seeing your head shape for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was so glad to discover mine looked normal.
Yeah, you've got a great shaped head.
It's not for everyone.
You have good head.
Thank you.
It's giving head.
But what happened to your dad?
Well, he shaved it off because for the longest time I've been like, embrace it, embrace it. He was doing the full Homer Simpson, and then he shaved his head off and I was like, oh, you didn't look great. Like, I feel like maybe it was just like getting used to it, but I was like, no, it actually looks better when you are kind of growing it a little bit with the big balls.
Yeah.
I can't describe it. It just, it was shocking.
Yes.
And I've always been an advocate for get rid. But yeah, I have seen a lot of people with hair transplants and they love it. And it seems to look good. It's
gender affirming for surgery for men.
100%. Absolutely.
For the type of men who are like, yes, trans women are not women.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always those bitches.
It's always those guys with the gender affirming hair plugs and Viagra pills and whatnot.
Yes. I saw today that apparently Viagra was originally intended as a treatment for endometriosis.
You're kidding.
And what? Has properties that help with preventing miscarriages and infertility. But at some point along the line, they were like, oh, but it gives men boners, so we're going to market it that way. People are like, what?
That's so crazy.
I'm shaking.
I know.
I'm quaking in my boots right now.
Because endo is one of those things that's really hard to get diagnosed for, since no doctor believes you when you say you have bad periods. How nice would it be to just be given like a little pill? A little blue pill.
And then you just rock hard for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I have a boy dog for the first time. We're fostering and they're gorgeous. And it's quite alarming though, when his dick just comes out. Does Kenzo's penis come out much?
No.
Oh my God.
Like,
what is wrong with this?
I don't know, but I got him when he still had balls.
Oh, yeah.
And he would get it more then, but he was also quite small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, not aroused
it
at
can
all.
Also be like an adjustment.
Yeah,
thing.
He's
like,
probably just
excited.
Like
stress.
It doesn't look fun for him. The guy's stressed out. Yeah. His dick's out. He's like panting and wandering around, so ashamed, his tail's down. I was like, oh my God, he hates it. But it is confronting, and he doesn't need any Viagra, which is good.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to give you guys an update on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yes,
please. Okay. What's new? I haven't seen.
Has the final reunion happened?
It has. So are you across the general drama of it all, or did you just see everybody posting about it?
Both of us have started watching
the
series, but from the start.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. So perfect.
We're very far
behind.
Are
you loving Mary Cosby, though?
Yes.
Dating her dead grandmother. Boyfriend.
That was just too much for me. Also, I listened to the Celebrity Memoir Book Club on
Heather's book. Yeah,
Heather's
yeah.
book.
Heather Gay.
That's it. Yeah. Oh yeah, because her last name's Gay.
Bad Mormon. And I'm just learning a lot about Mormon influencer culture at the moment. I'm really immersing myself.
Oh my God, it's real. I have a real obsession with like Christian vloggers and stuff like that, like family vloggers and stuff, and all that kind of thing. And that's why I think Real Housewives of Salt Lake City really hits, because it has like this given circumstance of Mormonism, where, and like Beverly Hills as well, like they all know each other, but at the beginning their links were to Faye Resnick and the OJ Simpson case. Like they were all linked to that. There has to be this like undertow, otherwise it's not that good. And for these guys, it's being Mormons. And there was a new housewife this year, Monica, who kind of, for me, came out of nowhere. I was like, she was linked to Jen Shah's in prison now for money laundering. She was robbing elderly people knowingly with a scam. She's awful. And this Monica chick, I thought she was great. She was bringing drama. I thought her points were really good as well, because she was calling out the women for all this shit. Like Lisa Barlow lost a 60,000 ring in a bathroom.
I saw that one.
Yeah.
And then the whole day she's like, I lost a $60,000 ring, just to anyone who would listen.
To anyone.
Anyone. And then the new girl goes, you don't have to mention that. You don't have to like constantly say it's a $60,000 ring. And she's like, what do you mean? I wasn't constantly saying it.
Cut to footage.
Yeah.
24 hours.
There was an incredible moment in the reunion. I think it was part two, where Lisa Barlow was talking about that moment and went, just because I own a $60,000 ring doesn't mean I'm not relatable to the middle class.
Oh my God. Like $60,000 US would be like 120.
That's more than the average like income.
It's
what?
Like this.
That's crazy.
The necklace that Erica Jane wouldn't donate to the victims of.
Oh my God. It's that.
She's like, it's my necklace.
It's so stupid. Yeah. And it turns out that this Monica chick, who had been great calling people out, she sometimes was getting a sometimes I thought she was getting in the way of herself because she would go from 0 to 100 and yeah. all these women are. But I'm like, if you, the only people who can sort of implement change like Garcelle does in Beverly Hills is because she sort of keeps her cool. Like yeah. she'll confront people about stuff, but she keeps her cool. Whereas Monica fucking loses it. She would just mosey up to someone and be like, yeah, so I heard that Ange's husband fucks men. That's just what I heard. That's just what I heard. So that was like a whole room. And so she would just constantly come in and be like, and she was targeting Angela. She was like, I think Ange's family is from the Greek mafia. Anyway, see you later. Like, just start wow. fires all over the place. And Heather Gay of Bad Mormon fame, she had this sort of thing go, and they tease us in the very first episode of season 4, but she has this like investigation going, it turns out, into Monica, and she gathers these women on the beach. It's like Big Little Lies. All the original girls there, and one of the later additions didn't get an invite, even though she was also affected, but they were like core four only.
Yeah.
It's windy, it's stormy, it's in Bermuda, and Heather is like, I found out that Monica is not who she's saying she is.
I've seen this redone into like a Renaissance painting.
It's so good. And we find out that Monica is Reality Von Teese, which is a burner account. Originally started to reveal the stuff that Jen Shah was doing, which is great. But then it just sort of became a gossipy website and hilarious.
I thought it was very funny because the account is still... like, you can still look it up.
Yeah.
There's just nothing new on it. And I just really wish that she'd kept it up throughout the season. But yeah. I think that would have been too much.
It might have been. It was interesting looking it up after that was revealed. Because I was like, they were like, okay, so my initial reaction when Heather said, Monica is Reality Von Teese, I was like, within the blink of an eye, I thought that Monica was doing drag acts. Pretending to be the women. Like that she'd been going around the city of Utah.
Waterville.
Yeah, like yeah. Drag performing as the women and making fun of them. I was oh my God. And then they're like, the Instagram account. And I was like, oh, sorry.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Truly
yeah.
the flash that came to my mind in that moment. But it's very interesting because you do sort of wonder, is Monica the real villain here? She plays a good villain, but yes. she's not the baddie. And they lost their minds. But one of the biggest reveals was that Heather Gay at the end of season 3 wakes up one morning, goes to filming. She's got a hectic black eye and she will not address it. She will not say who did it and she won't say how it happened. So there were all these like conspiracy theories about it was a beauty treatment, but it was at her beauty salon, the beauty lab. So she didn't want to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
There was other stuff that she was drunk and fell down the stairs. And then the third one, which ended up being true, was that Jen Shah punched her. And in the Bermuda... You haven't even...
Oh, God.
Not even watching the show, and it's
so good.
I clutched my pearls. It was one of the biggest and best finales of reality television that I've seen in the longest time.
So why did she punch her?
Well, she was probably drunk. They were fighting all the time, and Jen would like lose it. As you keep watching the series, she throws hands fully. She will start reaching out.
Throws hands from episode 1 of the pilot
100%.
Season.
100%. People are holding her back, so it's no shock to me. I know someone was like, it just seems, I think that's a bit of a lie from Heather. And I was like, there is so much evidence to say that Jen definitely hits her. She's been known to hit her employees.
Yeah.
She'll definitely hit Heather.
Wow.
And then it was like this whole thing about Heather sort of being in a manipulative relationship with her, like in terms of a friendship. And the reason she didn't come forward is because she knew it was going to fuck up her case if there was more evidence of her being aggressive as an employer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She might have to do all this stuff. So they kept it a secret. But it is interesting going back and rewatching that episode when people are like, Heather, what happened to your eye? And the way Jen jumps in and goes, it must be an infection. It must be, we don't know what happened.
Oh my
God. And just speaks for her.
The manipulation and gaslighting.
Yeah.
That's how she scammed those poor people out of their retirement funds.
Literally. She's awful, but yeah. She's now in prison with Elizabeth Holmes. Yep.
Girl bosses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dream.
Yeah.
Anyway. That is what happened
and
on Glee.
And that's what you missed in the life of Jordan. It does, like, I've been, like, loving having Salt Lake City be so utterly chaos-filled has made Beverly Hills feel so plain. Like, going back to episodes of Beverly Hills now where it's like, what new microaggression will Dorit fail to apologize for?
Oh, you know, my God. Like... Have you seen the new season of New York.
No. Have you been watching that? Cast?
Yes.
I hate it.
Oh my God. Okay. So I watched it because I was like, this is a nice entry for me because I haven't really dived.
Yeah.
God, I haven't really dived into the other ones that deeply. Like I was like starting at season one, but if there's like 16 seasons,
it's hard.
It's really hard and like kind of daunting. So I was like, okay, this is a new cast. I'll watch this. The drama was so trivial. It was all like, there wasn't enough food.
Yes.
It was like,
and there's like one lesbian caviar. Who's just like a power woman in a
suit. I love Jenna Lyons though. Yes. She's always been like an icon to me because I've been fashion obsessed for as long as I can remember. And I remember her being appointed to be the creative director at J. Crew. And it was like a big deal because J. Crew had like a moment of being cool before it fell off.
I just feel like we need like a full gay cast though. Like I don't want just like one token lesbian. I want like a cast of infighting lesbians.
The ultimatum.
Like, yeah, I want the ultimatum, but housewives.
But and like have people like in their jobs and be successful.
Mm. Yes.
Whenever you see reality TV contestants, they have the most randomest jobs.
Yes.
Like it's like, oh yeah, I'm a part-time dive instructor and I just like being at the beach. And you're like,
marketing exec.
It's like, how do you have all this time off to go on the show that doesn't pay that well?
It is funny looking back at shows. Do you remember like My Strange Addiction and stuff like that? And then just be like, people like get going on television and be like, yeah, I suck the couch. I'm addicted to it. Like stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you think that's real in retrospect?
Yes.
I think it's real, but I think there was like, because it was like the internet existed, but it wasn't like TikTok and YouTube where you could, things were held onto for so long, like things could just get out there. It was like a flash in the pan. So if you did an episode or whatever, it was fine. But now, like, it's a real opportunity. Like, it's a career opportunity. People want to get onto Big Brother. They want to get onto Love Island so that they can have become influencers and stuff like that, which is great and good on them. But then I feel like we lose some of the OG Big Brother vibes where you've just got like
these people plucked from obscurity.
Yeah. Just like in there talking.
Well, it's like on Drag Race these days. I know that you guys aren't watching, but there's been so many seasons and we're now having like a huge like crop of drag queens that have grown up watching Drag Race and it started to become so like self-aware to the point where you're no longer just having like someone who is just coming in fresh very often anymore. It's like the references are all so in circle that it's like we're just seeing the same thing over and over and over again. You know, it's
and hard to missing the like crafty,
yeah,
like low budget attainable drag, because when the queens come in and they already have everything perfect.
Yes.
I don't know, it's not like I ever thought I could be a drag queen. I have the uniqueness, but I don't have the talent. I can't sing, I can't sew. But like a lot of girls went on the show not having any of those skills and just being really funny performers. And now it's like,
because they weren't so aware of being filmed.
Exactly.
Whereas now everyone's like trying to force an edit. And that's true for a lot of reality shows at the moment where it's like hard to get someone who's just in oblivion.
It would be amazing and a real reset for Drag Race if they did a season where there was some solid economical boundaries in terms of
give
how
them
much
a
money.
Budget.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, queens are talking from this season, you know, they spend like 15 grand just to pay for the outfits to come onto it. And then they're eliminated in episode 2, you know, and it's like, it's such a saturated market at the moment as well. It's not like, you know, they're all going to be able to become big traveling acts and that kind of stuff. Because there's now every country's got their version of it. So Drag Race needs to pay their acts, basically. That would happen on no other show that you would expect someone to just come and throw money at it just to be on the show.
Yeah, that's so true. Mm. I guess like another, I imagine, I don't actually watch Love Island. Do either of you?
I've dabbled.
I feel like I feel like the girls there have spent like a couple grand on their outfits and hair and shit like that, but nothing compares to Drag Race.
Yeah.
But that's their prerogative in that like it doesn't affect their time on the show.
That's
true. You know, whereas like it genuinely is like if you don't have extravagant like Broadway level runways, it's like you're going to get read for filth and possibly go home for it. And it's like that's not fair.
Who was that drag queen that was like, where's that skirt from?
H&M.
That was Drag Race UK.
Yeah,
that was like the fun thing about watching the other countries because you could see not as polished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I don't mean that in a negative way, but the first few seasons of UK Drag Race were so fun because of that.
Tia Coffey. Yeah.
Yes. Who's coming back for UK versus the world?
Oh get out. God, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of good rustic seasons. I mean, Down Under season two with, like, you know, Spanky was similar in that energy. It had that, like, fun ragtag kind of thing. And I don't know if you've watched España, but it's actually amazing.
I want to get into that. Mm.
I obviously love RuPaul and she's an icon. But when they have, like, a regional drag race that is, like, hosted by someone in that region and, you know, gets the references, they get to do stuff that is, like, so special and unique to that region that it's just so nice to watch.
Mm.
I love it.
I mean, the dream is, and it's a dream that will never happen, is that Courtney Act hosts the Down Under Drag Race.
Oh, speaking of Down Under Drag Race, I went to see Art Simone and Thomas Jaspers and Friends of the Pod in Kath and Kim play a drag parody the
People
other night.
People are raving about it online.
Genuinely, one of the funniest nights of theatre I have ever seen. Oh, okay. I was howling.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's so amazing. I feel like...
Is it at the Pride Centre?
No, it's at the Alex Theatre in St. Kilda.
Okay.
But it was so... Obviously, incredible performances. It was so well, like, acted and that, you know, they got the audience involved really smartly. But the writing blew me away. It was genuinely, like... Because it's all about, like, if Kath and Kim were going through lockdown in Melbourne, how would they have done it? And the references were so spot on. It was just the most well-written thing. I genuinely think if, like, Jane Turner or Gina Riley were to go and see it, they would feel like we're going to give our blessing kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You could put this on TV as, like, a fun special.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people would love it. So
that is so fun. Yeah. And a nice homage to them as well. And yes. Also, like, I could so imagine either Kath is either going down the anti-vax route or super vigilant.
Well, they did the funniest thing. And I was like, it was so exactly what would it be? She was worried that Kel was an anti-vaxxer. And she kept on misinterpreting things that he was saying as him being an anti-vaxxer. And she's like, oh, no.
Oh no. Well, Kel would be.
Yeah. And then she had like a fever dream about COVID-19. You know, it, like when she had the fever dream about...
Like lesbians.
Him being a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
It genuinely, if it's still on and anyone in Melbourne is listening, go see Kath and Kim, a parody play. It's fucking amazing.
I bet it's going to come back.
Yeah, I hope so. It was also just so nice to be out at the theatre where it was like not just Melbourne references, but queer Melbourne references for a queer audience as well.
Yeah.
And like just being part of it, like, you know, it was like in every row I had like friends. I was like, everyone was there. It just felt so nice.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
Love it.
One of those real like affirming, like, oh, it is nice to be part of the LGBTQIA+ community.
Sometimes. Finally.
Sometimes.
Most of the time it's a real drag. Yes.
Okay, the new Ariana song, I have to admit, I'm a bad gay. I haven't listened.
Good. I think that's actually good.
You reckon?
That's being a good gay.
Yeah. Is it not a banger?
I don't like it.
At first, I thought maybe it's just a song that I don't like straight away because there are so many that as soon as they come out, I remember I used to not like Get High on the Beach by Lana Del Rey. Can you believe? The first time I heard that, I said, no, best. High by the Beach. And I thought that it would get stronger for me over time, but it keeps not hitting. The video clip's really cool. I like what she's doing there.
The MJ reference is, she's a good dancer.
Yeah.
But
MJ as in Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Is it Paula Abdul as well? I think I watched a different TikTok.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
It's also like, God, why? I am sick of Americans in general, including a lot of like queer podcasts that I listen to, really celebrating and talking about Michael Jackson all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's lame.
It is. And with like this Ariana thing, I think I'm definitely blinded by annoyance with her over the song. So I'm like not letting myself enjoy the song because it's just so like her coming out being like, yeah, I ride this dick, all my haters coming for me kind of thing. It's like, what
it's
are you
giving
fucking
Gypsy
talking?
Rose.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like,
fully.
Oh my God, you guys, there is a conspiracy theory that guy is her brother.
Oh no, because he does look like her mom. Why do they think that?
Wait,
tell
sorry,
us about this.
You saying Gypsy Rose's boyfriend is her brother?
Yes.
Husband. He's her husband.
I don't, Get this is unverified out. Tea.
This is alleged rumors. Yes.
No, but there's so many people who just look alike. No, there's the whole account dedicated to siblings or dating.
Someone did like a family tree thing and like had found like birth records and blah, blah. Like I didn't watch the full TikTok.
No, okay, no, but this is okay. Sometimes I feel like online like research goes too far, because tell me how these people are finding Gypsy Rose being related to her husband. Mainly, I made a 23andMe to find out if my dad, who was a massive cheater, had any other kids, and there's none.
Oh, oh my god!
I might pop off one day. You I just know. Need one of them
I
to do it.
I was so disappointed because I had this really vivid dream.
Oh my god!
That I had a sibling that I didn't know about. I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna order 23andMe.
You're gonna get this like letter, like this like gold letter in the mail.
Yeah, and it'll be like, oh my god, you have a sibling you didn't know about. No, nothing.
Oh my god, who are you hoping for?
I don't know, someone like hot and funny.
Yes. Like yeah. A celebrity, that would be fun.
Gigi Hadid or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, pretty unlikely, but you never know. You never know.
It could be. Your London was freaky.
Yeah. So it is just alleged, and I didn't investigate any further. I was like, no, I want to just...
I'll get on Ancestry myself. Yeah. I'll look up Gypsy Rose's family tree.
Yes. Maybe you guys are related. Maybe maybe he's your brother as well.
Who knows?
It's, oh my god! It's always showing me such a cash.
It's only showing me like eighth cousins or like sixth cousins, which is really far back. And
yeah,
does it show you any like family history as well, or is it mainly just like who's connected now?
No, it's really like vague. It's like these are traits you might have. You
like
might
what?
You might be sporty.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's really lame. It's not. I was hoping it'd be like.
Oh my god, it's like co-star.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's also like you have. If you want to know if heart disease runs in your family,
that's
ask
fair.
Your family or go to the doctor.
Yeah,
you can't wait for Ancestry to like diagnose yeah. you. But they make it look like you can upgrade to get like more specific traits or whatever. But. Mm. Whatever. I'm not going to do that.
That is so funny considering that like the Golden State Killer was discovered because one of his like second cousins did a 23andMe.
Yeah.
And like I'm so glad that that guy's obviously been found, and because he sounds effing awful. He was, doesn't even sound it. But he, decades of not getting found
and
keeping
actually,
it low.
Someone was like replying to my stories being like, they might like use it against crime, blah blah blah, and I was like, look, I don't really think there is anyone that's gonna come up.
We're none of us are safe,
you know, like but also like if I had a distant cousin who was a criminal, I mean, justice should be served. We're eighth cousins. I'm not gonna like put my neck out for you.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. I'm just trying to find out if my dad fucked anyone else.
Yes.
I know he did.
Yes. Also, if they're legally fuckable, then it's far enough away that I'm not going to defend them in court.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're thinking about your cousins in terms of legally fuckable?
If they're like 18 or older, is that what you mean?
No, if they're like... eighth cousins.
Eighth removed. Cousins. Oh my God. You can legally fuck your eighth cousin?
Of course. You can
legally fuck your second cousin.
I didn't know that. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't have a second cousin.
Yeah. Yet.
Yes.
We stay hoping.
What's the charge? Put it like,
shame.
I mean, shame.
Shame.
Yeah, yeah.
You get walked well, down the street.
You're Lena Headey in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this happens quite, again, TikTok and like social media, you know, where people find out that they're related to their partners.
Oh, yeah.
And yes. I'm just glad that actually won't happen to me now that I've been on Ancestry. But also, it's pretty obvious. We're coming from like totally different backgrounds, but. It's so sad for those people.
I feel like there should be a gay registry where you list your exes and it tells you if you're like fucking someone who is someone else's ex. Because things get so messy so quickly in like the dating scenes.
No, you know how that lyric is like, we're all someone's daughter or whatever.
Well, you're someone's son,
whatever it is.
No, both of those.
Don't know. Yeah. It's like, we're all somebody's ex.
Yeah.
We're all fucking each other in the barrel of a gun. I mean, yeah, I feel like that could be cool. It would be interesting if someone that you didn't like was like, you're dating my ex, and was like, you can't. Just so you know. And you were just like, thank you.
Yeah. Noted. Thank you. To circle back to the Ariana song, I found out that she released 14 versions of Yes And. You know, it was like an a cappella, and one's like a remix, and one's like a deluxe version. All this kind
of
stuff.
Oh, she's doing a Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but 14 different versions of it at the same time. And it's apparently this thing that a lot of artists are doing now, because like the top 100 or whatever metric they're doing will lump any version of a song into one. So the numbers will go towards like boosting the song. And now it's like,
oh,
like raising its like position on the track score. On, like, or
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I have to admit something very un-Australian. I've never voted in the Triple J Top 100.
How very dare you?
Yes.
My whole
If only there was someone here who literally
I
voted.
I know. I said this to tickle you, Jordan.
Unbelievable. And you're probably one of the people that hates Doja Cat. Yeah. I do want to rant about this, and I should say that my opinions and thoughts that I say on this podcast do not reflect those of the national broadcaster. Don't come for me, Ida. But I am so disappointed in the people's response to the number one song. Like, obviously,
what was the number one?
Doja Cat.
Which song? Paint the Town Red.
Oh, that was a great song.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I think people's... Well, from what I've seen, people's issue with it is more that it's not an Aussie act. Isn't that right?
That's so true. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. It should be an Australian track. 100%. I wish that were the case.
But G-Flip was number two, though.
G-Flip was number two. Also, there were heaps of songs in the top 10 that were Australian. I was gunning for Rush. I was hoping Troye Sivan would take it out this year. I think it was really tight.
Sue me. I don't think it's that much of a banger.
I will see you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that song.
But, I like it.
But also, it's... like, I feel like there's been past years where the top number one wasn't Australian from my 100%. Recent memory. It happens all the time.
Also just wasn't a woman of color.
Yeah, exactly that. And then I think people have other ideological issues with Doja Cat because she's like hating on her fans and stuff.
Yeah. That whole song is
dissing
like...
her fans. I mean, I guess a lot of her fan base is probably like African American.
Yeah.
And that is a demographic. I can speak from experience having an African mother that's very like anti-Satanist. Like anything my mother thought was demonic, which was almost everything.
Including her child.
Yeah, it's like, I could be a demon, like you've been possessed, legit. She'd be like, you can't listen to her, you can't deal with this because it'll like come into your life, blah blah blah. So I get it from that aspect, but also it's a good song.
Yeah,
it's a good song.
She's hilarious.
She is
funny.
A lot of people's qualms with it is that it went viral on TikTok, which is
that's Detroit.
Yeah,
massively. Everyone was doing the dance.
Yeah.
And that's the new reality that we live in. It's like, sorry that we're adapting to a new culture.
And every number one has been one of the biggest songs of the year. It's never been an indie, cool, like, song that nobody's heard of. It's always been one of the biggest releases of the year. And now it's always going to be a song that probably had a TikTok trend attached to it.
Yeah.
How, like, I'm going to come clean as well. I've never voted in the top 100 either.
Oh, my fucking God.
How does it work? So, like, is it genuinely voted by the public?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just...
Well, then why are people even complaining? Because they voted for it.
They have this idea that it's, like, snub, like, that it's rigged or whatever. And
so
it's
there's
like...
no body that chose this thing.
No. Well, then... It's all the public. And they're like, oh, it's rigged by Triple J, it's whatever. And I will just say that if you have a look at all the songs that the Triple J presenters voted for... We were slamming, pushing, pressing Australian artists. In particular, like, there was a song that didn't make the 200 this year that I was so shocked by because every single presenter, it's Black Britney by Miss Kanina, if you haven't heard it, incredible. Every single Triple J presenter voted for it and posted about it and did all that stuff. It didn't even crack the 200. So it's like, people vote who don't listen to Triple J as well, and they just vote for their favorite songs of the year. Like, there was a lot of Olivia Rodrigo, a lot of Troye Sivan, a lot of G-Flip, and it's because people go, I like this artist, I'll vote for like five songs of theirs and then a couple other fillers.
Is it
stuff
like
point
based? Like,
maybe I'm making this up, but yeah.
Is it like if you vote for a song as number one, like that will give it the most points? Or is it just
like the Electoral College?
Yes.
Is it like when you go voting in the voting booth? Also, a thing I haven't done because I don't have Australian citizenship, but you know how it's like you put your preference or whatever?
Yeah, totally. No, it's not preferential. It's simply you vote for 10 songs. Each one of those votes is one vote.
See, that makes a lot of sense to me because I can totally see if everyone kind of universally accepts this song as like worthy of being like nominated, but it's nobody's number one. It might be surprising for it to then be the number one because it's like, I don't know. I'm fucking up like the describing.
Well, this is like, January 6-ing.
Yes.
No, but it's like,
it's, kind of, it's almost like the sort of like the mutually agreed upon, like.
That's what it's always. It's like, Green Book winning best picture at the Oscars.
Yes.
It was no one's favorite film, but everybody because that is a graded system and everybody would have voted for it maybe 3 or 4. Mm. And because it was consistently middling, it ended up coming out on top because people had extreme views about the other movies nominated. So Green Book won.
It's so weird.
And why everybody was like, well, it's not a great movie.
Did you guys listen to G Flip's Cruel Summer cover?
Yes.
I have had it on repeat all week. It is so good.
You know that Taylor Swift liked it as well? Yes,
and people are rumouring that
she's
going
to open.
Yeah.
Wait, are either of you going to the Taylor Swift concert?
No, I tried so hard.
Oh, Charlie, I'm devastated for you. I wanted every T-Swifty, even though I'm not a Swifty myself, but like I wanted them all to get it. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I do feel like I'm not too brokenhearted because they were so expensive and I was like, this is going to fuck me up. But I did try. I had like, you know, my laptop, my iPad, my phone, and then my cousins were doing the same thing. I was trying to go with my like younger Gen Z cousins
cute.
Who are twins.
Cute.
And so like they had all shit going as well. And I was like, you know, like texting them. I was like, how are you going? Are you in? Are you in? Are you in? Like we spent the whole day. We got nothing. But yeah, I kind of had that feeling of like, it's correct that I'm not going because I would have had such crushing like survivor's guilt if I got a ticket. Do you know what I mean? Like,
100%.
Genuinely.
Also, imagine if you got it and you went there, and I'm sure you would have had a great time no matter what. But imagine if it like wasn't amazing, or if you were like, I had a good time, but I'm not losing my mind. Yeah.
Or I'm not like as much of a Swiftie as another friend. Like I have a friend that got tickets.
Oh, thank God.
But she was in like a group of 4 girls that were all trying to get tickets for each other and they could only get 2 in this thing because it was like, it's 2, take it or leave it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they had to have that thing of like, well, which girl am I going to take from the group? And it's like so uncomfortable. And she was like, well, I have to take so-and-so. I can't remember the reasoning, but it's like, she's not the biggest Swiftie of the group that is going. And it's just kind of like,
oh my God, that's and like, so icky.
It is. So it's a bit of a bullet dodged to not go in a way.
Are they going
to
project it outside of the stadium like they do the tennis and stuff?
They totally should, but they probably won't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Go stand in the car park. I saw people in the US doing that. Seems thankless, but.
I know.
Did
either of you watch the tennis this year, by the way?
No, my partner did, so I saw snippets of it. But I don't know. Sometimes some years I get crazy obsessed with the tennis and then other years I'm just not interested at all. But I did like that someone called Sinner won because I like a little ranger Italian German boy.
Little twink.
Oh, yeah. Literally. Did he just win?
Yeah, last night.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that and I was like, oh, I wish I paid attention.
I know. I had the exact same reaction. I woke up this morning, like looked at my Instagram and it was like Skinner wins the Australian Open. I was literally like, who the fuck is this man?
Principal Skinner.
It was just like, tennis has such a quick turnover.
Oh my
like,
God, you blink.
Yeah, it's like one season I'll be like, I know everyone. And I'll like finally like have like a sense of bearings about it. Mm-hmm. And then I turn away for like one open and I'm out.
Yeah, I feel like next year I'll like be fully invested.
Yes.
I'll be there on like a grounds pass.
Let's
early.
Go.
Because this is the thing, you can go for like $19.
You can. Yes. Yeah. You can. And you roam around, you watch like the under 18s and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
you watch a random matches.
Josh told me only afterwards that he's like, oh, so-and-so at work has just like seats at the Open every year that they like sometimes can't go to.
Josh!
And they were asking if anyone wanted them this year,
Josh!
But I just assumed that you didn't want to go. I was like, are you, what? Because like, I'm not like a big sporty person. I mean, tennis is my probably one exception. Like I get super into the tennis. Recently, the Matildas, but I'll even go to like AFL.
If someone has the house.
Yeah. If I can get hot chips, I'm there. Like
especially if it's in
like a booth.
Yeah. yeah.
It's so wild. It's so funny how like, especially as queers, we'll be heroes. No, but like we can go to these events that are like largely marketed and are like targeted towards like straight people, like the AFL and stuff like that, and have a good time most of the time, 9 times out of 10, because we love the atmosphere. But then the other way around and people are like, I'm not seeing many straighties at the midsummer carnival.
Well, I saw this news article actually that inspired me to start a business, which happens once a week. There was this woman in Canada who started a sports bar that only shows women's sport.
Oh, love I love that.
And I'm like, oh my God, we could really use that here. Like just,
we could
use, you know?
A lesbian bar in general. I've got a friend who's a real like historical gay, had like knows all these old gay bars and pointed out all these bars in like Richmond and Footscray that used to be like dedicated lesbian bars, and they're not anymore. And like,
it's a dying art.
Yeah.
All right. We're looking for investors.
Have you guys been to Flippies?
Oh yeah.
Is that a lesbian bar, or it's just a
It's just gay.
It's just gay. Yeah.
No, I think it's owned by lesbians and inhabited by lesbians largely.
Yeah.
I
had a friend who is a lesbian's birthday there last weekend, and it just felt like someone's house. I was like, this is not a bar. This is just a house.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful bar.
It is nice.
I think I did a comedy show there which was gay neighbors. But they just had comedy sets between gay neighbors scenes.
What, like of Neighbours the show?
No, they acted out scenes but made them gay. Like they just like wrote sketches and stuff from the characters of Neighbours and made them gay.
and then we would
come up and do a stand-up
fan
set.
Fiction.
Yeah, my god,
that's so funny.
It was fun. And there was just the whole crowd was just lesbians.
and they
were on board. It was beautiful.
Crowd. Sounds like our MICF audiences.
Yeah. Yes.
Literally.
Well, this brings us to our pop or flop for the week, I believe.
Yes, let's do it.
It sure does.
I feel like I've had a lot of pops recently, so I'm going to continue with the pop.
Yes. I was like, no, be a hater.
Maybe I'll be a hater next time. But something I discovered about myself is that I can, in fact, still read.
Mm.
Like, it blew my mind because last year, I read a few books, like reread a few books, but most of them were kind of like easy to read, funny books, you know, when it's like kind of a big font and it's like internet speak, you're reading, it's basically like reading SMS messages.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love those. But then I finished a book that was like that and was like, okay, I'm going to try reading this book again that I started ages ago. It's called Half of a Yellow Sun, and it's set in like 1960s Nigeria at the moment. And it's like thick like the Bible, small print, really like good storytelling, really kind of draws you in, and it's a slow burn type of book, which I haven't read in like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, my brain still works. My screen time was down. So yeah, pop books.
Pop literature.
Literature. Oh my god.
It is funny though, because like sometimes there's so many like pulpy books out there that you kind of forget that you can just read through those, and they're great and they do what they need to do. But then when you read like a really well written, beautiful book that's like you were saying, thick like the Bible, and you're like, oh, I'm really immersed in this and I can really chew away at it.
Yeah.
Over some time.
But if you're like, oh, I don't want to read one of those pulp, like the quick snap, so you know that you can read.
Yeah.
And then you can get into the thick ones.
Yeah.
Totally. I got back into reading because I read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Oh, I've heard about that one. Yeah. Is it good?
It does exactly what he needed to do. Yeah. It's like, it's a good book if you haven't been reading and you want to get back into it. It'll get you into it because it's easy. It's big print.
Yeah, nice.
It's not that confusing.
Yeah.
If you're pretty dumb like me, it keeps you... And it also has like a couple twists and turns along the way that's really fun. And it's gay. Yeah.
It's fiction, yeah.
It's fiction.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Well, if there's happy gays, it has to be fiction. I have a flop this week.
What is it?
I don't know if you guys have seen this Stanley Cup thing that is blowing up in the US.
Oh, I absolutely have. I have so many thoughts and I agree.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's these cups like...
Oh, just the Stanley Cups
in
general?
Keep cup, basically.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Jordan, this is such a read, but I feel like you and your Frank Green are tight like other people with their Stanleys.
I would get a Stanley Cup. I was thinking about getting it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean.
But you already have the perfect bottle.
I did. I finally lost my other one, which is a record for me. 3 years without losing a water bottle. Can you believe it?
Wow.
But it's gone. It's somewhere in Parkville. So I finally got a new one. They got a new and improved. Look, sponsor me.
Girl, I feel like I know someone who used to work there.
Oh, damn. Could like a discount?
Yeah, maybe.
Rip.
We'll take it off the air.
Yeah. But these Stanley Cups feel like a whole other thing. They've got that weird straw.
Well, I mean, to be honest.
Yeah, it's the straw for me.
Yeah, they're not all that. Like, they've actually done, like, comparisons of, like, Stanley Cups versus, like, every other similar brand. And they're actually the worst of all of them.
But the best marketing.
With the best marketing. Whoever's doing their marketing has absolutely smashed it because they've just become this craze, and like people are like stealing them and like crashing into stores just to like get there at open, and then they're like selling out in like a minute and all this kind of stuff, and like the supply can't keep up with it. This woman got arrested for stealing, it was like $15,000 worth of Stanley Cups in her car.
That would have been at least three.
yeah, true. Just one cup. And it was just wild. Like people going feral for them. And it's just because it's like the hot thing. And, you know, like kids will have them at school. And there's been like instances of like bullying because kids who don't have Stanley Cups or who have like different brands, they're like, why don't you have a Stanley Cup? It's feral. Get over it. Who gives a fuck? Also, that's the flop, but I have on the other side a pop, which is this week Stanley Cup is having to face allegations that their cups contain lead.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I knew we were going to get back to lead somehow. I just felt it in my loins. I was like, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, people used to just pass out because they were just drinking from lead cups all the time. And I was like, maybe that'll come back.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Stanley's bringing it back, allegedly.
Did you see that video of that woman whose car exploded and the whole car was ruined, but her Stanley cup was there and it was like blackened, but the ice, she shook it and the ice was
I know, and they bought her a new car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was such a good advertisement, like any money they'd spend on a car.
Maybe that's what set this whole thing off.
Oh.
And maybe that was a conspiracy. Just saying, it would be a smart way to do it.
You really that's can't so trust true. Anyone or anything these days.
I can't see a single car bombing with it being, like, is this just a marketing tactic to sell me lead?
Sell me lead. I have a flop, and my flop is spending a lot of money on a smoothie that is bad. I've noticed we're getting a little loose with our smoothies when you purchase them out. There are some places that are incredible and you'll go back there. There's no consistency is what I'm saying, is you'll go back to the same shop and they haven't blended
it.
There's
no consistency in the smoothie.
There's no consistency in the, I'd love a bit of consistency, but I think that we're getting, people are getting hyped up in smoothie culture because it is summer and they think that they can charge us $22 for a passion fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it on a menu.
$22?
For one smoothie.
Back in my day, you could get...
at least a Stanley Cup.
Like a burger and chips. Like,
yeah. Yes.
And I listened to myself. I've just started making my own smoothies at home, a humble queen. But I have just had so many shit smoothies recently and for no good reasons.
Mm. Oh my God. You're one of those like Mormon wife TikToks.
I literally am.
Have you seen that woman who's like blown up this week? She's like doing like all at home cooking. And she's like, my children have asked for some cereal. So I'm off to make some cereal. And then she makes from scratch cereal. And someone's like, can you imagine being a child and being like, Mom, can I have some cereal? And being like, wait 6 hours.
Oh my God. I know. I've been watching her stuff too. Wait, Nara?
Yeah, and she's like black, but everyone's like Mormon culture like is famously not great to black people.
But I will just say, because I've been watching her videos a lot as well, people are basing this on like a version of Mormonism that we don't know if she practices.
Okay. Mm.
And then there's a whole other level of like white influencers do that exact same thing and never get criticized for it. And they're like kind of coming for her for being like, and she actually in the comments, she'll be like, no, they had something else. But then she'll be like, I made bread from scratch. And I'm like, that's fucking crazy. Like, why are you making bread and like jam and peanut butter all from scratch?
It's like people have perfected it.
But, you know, just buy it. But it is content.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are doing that exact kind of content without getting any of the backlash.
Ballerina Farms.
I have so many thoughts on Ballerina Farms.
I don't know this woman.
We might have to save it for the next part.
Yeah. But I'll go into the Ballerina Farms.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts about them.
Oh my God. I didn't even know there were podcasts about them. That's so funny. I thought it was just all of us being like, this is fucked up, right?
Yeah. No. I'll keep this in the vault for next time.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm so excited.
But that's what I'm imagining for you. You're one of those.
I'm one of those.
Making your little smoothie.
Oh my God,
Ballerina
I'm an Amish
farm.
Woman.
Yeah.
I'm like mulching it. I'm rushing it. You know,
making like the oat milk from scratch.
Oh my God. All right. It's been a time. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, ballerinas.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.